And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Okay, where is it? Come on. Well, I thought I had the record button recording. Okay, never mind. I can't worry about that. All right, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I looked under the counter right here, and I found Randy's Bible. It says Holy Bible on the front. It says NKJV. I guess that means the New King James Version. Okay? All right, here's the Bible verse I looked up. I know that depending on which Bible you have, it may be worded like a little bit differently, but still it's like a great compliment. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It says they were in, the verse before. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. And here's verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I love that verse. You get the gist of it, though? Paul and Silas are at the synagogue. Most likely, if Paul is being Paul and Silas is being Silas, they're not wasting their time. They are talking about the good news. And so, in Berea, they said that they were more noble in one version, and in this one, the New King James Version, they were fair-minded. So, you know, one of the things that I get from that is, it's really, really okay to question everything. Don't you agree? Okay. All right. What I want to do is, I want to tell you what I did while ago. I talked to a woman on my phone. Her name was Siri. And I asked Siri this. I said, Siri, how many milligrams of salt are in a teaspoon of salt? And she just didn't give me a number, but she gave me an ultra precise number. And that number was 5,687.5 milligrams in a teaspoon. I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that I could do that. Because usually when I get a teaspoon of something, it might be rounded or a little bit over. Because you know what? We live in Texas. More is better, right? Anyway, let me read this to you right here. All right, topic number one. All right. Now, no matter who you are, this is going to be relevant to you. Especially if you have to deal with 95 degree temperatures, maybe 96 if you're really fortunate. If you live way out in the country, who knows? In the shade, it might be 92. Okay. I'm not going to look up the references for these, but this comes from several studies. I've got study number 946 through 48, so they're there. I'll look them up for you if you need a reference for it, or you can study it for yourself. Okay, here goes. Numerous studies show that slowly consuming a salt solution that contains about 2,300 to maybe 2,900 milligrams of sodium in 20 to 26 ounces of water over the course of 60 minutes, starting 90 to 105 minutes prior to the competition, it dramatically increases how long an individual can exercise. You want to know what the number is? When they put about a half a teaspoon. That's probably right. That's what 2,300 to 2,900 milligrams of sodium represents. About a half a teaspoon. That's why I looked that up. But if they sipped on 20 ounces of water with a half a teaspoon of salt in it about an hour and a half before a competition, well, guess what they could do? The individuals can exercise or run or compete 21 minutes longer. Do you kind of get the idea that you got to have sodium if you want to have energy and stamina and endurance? I see people all the time where they bring their comprehensive metabolic profile or their lab results in, and the sodium is low. And I'm telling you, if your sodium is at, say, 134, I'm just making up a number, you are going to be exhausted, drawn out, wiped out. You're just going to be tired and fatigued. You won't even know what it's like to have energy. But this is so interesting right here. just a little bit of salt in water. If you drink it before you have to compete in the competition, which is what this was, you could go 21 minutes longer than everybody else. It also showed that when they put the salt, it reduced the core temperature of the body. Now, by almost a degree. Now, to me, that's very fascinating. There are so many people that just can't tolerate heat, or the heat drains them and wipes them out, or they get overheated or too hot. Well, are you starting to figure out this might suggest that you're a little bit low in sodium? Okay. It said it also lowered heart rate, 9 to 10 beats a minute. Folks, I don't know if you know how big a deal this is. When you look at the long-term studies on people that have problems with their heart, well, the resting heart rate is almost always above 80 beats a minute. That's where all the problems are. I mean, they have done exhaustive medical research and studies on individuals that have heart problems. And so when your heart rate is 72 beats a minute or a little bit lower than that, usually everything goes really, really well. But when your heart rate is consistently above 80 beats a minute, let's just say that you can't get your heart rate to go below 100, that's a problem right there. It's just a matter of time before the heart begins to break down and wear out. But if you consumed a half a teaspoon of salt and water, it lowered the heart rate by 9 to 10 beats a minute. I mean, that's huge. I can't make this stuff up. So something about that tells me that whatever's going on here, the heart likes it. It's able to beat more efficiently, and it works better. It doesn't have to work as hard. Well, if you don't want that, well, just take the salt out of your water before you start sweating and exercising. Let's see what happens. Let's see if your heart expends a lot more energy and it beats 10 times. No, you don't want that at all. It also says it boosts plasma volume up to plus 8%. You know what that means? That means it keeps you from becoming dehydrated. Now, I remember when I was in high school and we had two-a-day football practices. We were freely given salt tablets. Now, is that just totally nuts? Because salt is something that's just made completely evil. Well, it's not evil. You got to have it. You want to have stamina, strength, endurance? Well, you need your electrolytes to do that. Yeah, electrolytes. They generate electrical energy, and it's going to play a huge role in what happens to water. So if I said, is your body mainly composed of water? Well, the answer would be yes. What are you? You're 70% water. What is the earth? It's 70% covered by water. So yeah, I like that verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We're told that salt is bad, but here's a study that says salt is actually very, very good. Now the next one. I realize this is not going to be super popular for everybody, because let me just say it this way. I'm going to just give a rough estimate. For the last 4 months, when somebody makes a comment to me that I kind of question in my mind whether or not it's accurate or not, I'll just ask the person, I'll say, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I want to know more about it. Can you get me to the study or the article that's going to be the reference point for how you came to your conclusion or what made you make this statement? And so a lot of times it would be concerning, for example, this is just a pretty good example, whether or not one should take a vaccine to protect themselves from COVID-19. And so far, over the last 4 months, I don't know that I've had one taker yet on the potential benefits to the vaccine. Yeah, you can go on Facebook, and there's all these people saying that if you only cared about your fellow man, you would do this, that, and the other thing. Anyway, I came across this article from Bill Sardi, and I like him. Am I biased? Yes, I'm totally biased. Everybody knows that. I totally have a bias toward supplements, remedies, foods, beverages, lifestyle, exercise, sleeping habits, positive thoughts. Yeah, I'm totally biased to all those things. Anything that would play a positive role in making sure that you can have the very best chance to have a successful life while you're walking this earth. I'm not going to promote things that, you know, would put you at risk of getting sick or leaving this earth prematurely. So, yeah, you could say I'm biased. And you know what? I'm not against drugs either. If you have a case of double pneumonia right now, well, you better be where they can give you antibiotics. Okay? Had a guy come by yesterday, like right at 12 o'clock when I was walking out the door to run to the post office. And he said, my wife is sick. Can you see her right now? I said, sorry, I can't. I'm kind of committed to getting out the door and doing this. And plus, there just wasn't enough time. I said, well, can you come back? And I think what he did was he took her to the emergency room to see if he can get her some help. And they wouldn't let her leave afterwards. I don't really know the whole story, but you get the gist of it. But anyway, I came across this article from Bill Sardi because I asked Siri this morning to show me the studies on how effective the Pfizer vaccine is. Anyway, it's so hard to come to a conclusion. If you've tried to read those medical studies published on the vaccine, then you are a special person. It's really hard to do, and I'm kind of used to reading those things. So I like looking at the numbers and the stats to find out what's true. And so all I'm after here is, let's just ask a question. What's the truth about this right here? So you need to be like the Bereans. They question everything. And the way that they questioned, they read the Word of God to see if what Paul and Silas was saying was true. So this article comes from a gentleman by the name of Bill Sardi. He's called the Vitamin Supplement Answer Man, and he has a website called Knowledge of Health. I like it. Is it biased? Well, okay, maybe a little bit. But you know what? You got every aspect of life. Everybody's got an opinion. They have likes. They have dislikes. They have confirmational biases on everything. We're no different. Neither are you. So let me read this right here. This is posted August 28, 2021 by Bill Sardi. So I want to make sure and give him the credit. I've never met the man, but I like the way he writes. So, and you know what? The thing of it is, everybody has a million choices to make in their life. And sometimes you need help with information to help you make those choices. So let me read this to you right here. On August the 26th, 2021, in the wake of the United States Food and Drug Administration August 23 approval of the Pfizer messenger RNA COVID-19 vaccine, comes a startling reversal in the agenda to vaccinate the entire planet. Investigators in the country of Israel, they report that natural immunity confers longer-lasting and stronger protection against COVID-19 coronavirus infection, as well as symptoms and/or hospitalization involving the Delta variant of the virus compared to the Pfizer RNA. I think they call it the BNT162B2 vaccine. So, if you don't get the vaccine versus those that get the Pfizer vaccine, they get two doses. And when I just looked on the CDC.gov, they said once you get your second shot, they said the first shot, according to the CDC, you get a little bit of benefit, but when you get the second shot from Pfizer, you get complete 100% protection at the two-week mark. Okay? You with me on that? Hey, go to CDC.gov. You can look it up yourself, see what you think about it. Okay, here's what the study says. There was an alarming 13.06-fold increased risk for unexpected breakthrough infection involving the Delta variant compared to those subjects who were previously infected and then developed a natural immunity. And you're probably saying, hey, Dr. Morgan, what are you even talking about? Well, what I'm saying is, if you come in contact with just a little bit of a viral load, like somebody coughs near you or you breathe, you know, the virus is expelled from their breath, even if you don't realize it. Say you're walking into Walmart and the guy 20 steps ahead of you is coughing like crazy and you don't really hear that, but you walk right through his stream of exhaust fumes, well, you're going to get some virus. And it may be that your neutrophils in your immune system, which are all your little bitty soldiers, they're able to pick up on it really quick. And so they can devour it if it's just a little bit. Okay? Well, that probably is not going to cause your immune system to generate what are called lifelong antibodies against that virus. No. But if you get like a really big exposure to the virus, that is generally what's going to trigger your immune system to produce antibodies. And that's what you want. And so that's what we're talking about here. And so in the country of Israel, where about 60% of the population has been fully vaccinated as of August the 18th, 2021, here's the report. The preliminary report published as a preprint at MedRx IV, this is the health industry's online preprint, that means prior to peer review repository. So they're trying to share all the information. They want to be free and open with all this to educate people and help people make informed decisions. Overall, there were three groups of 16,215 matched subjects from 673,676 enrolled people in their health plan. That's basically almost 675,000 folks. And these were people that were fully vaccinated. Now, they also had 62,883 who were unvaccinated, but here's the catch. They had been previously infected. And out of these, they took 42,099 individuals who were eligible for study of previously infected individuals who were candidates for vaccination. So they hadn't been vaccinated. The study involved members of Israel's second largest health plan who were vaccinated prior to February the 28th of 2021 or had both a documented COVID-19 infection by that same date, and they had received one dose of the vaccine by May the 25th. During the study period, there were 257 cases of COVID-19 were recorded, 238 in the vaccinated group, and just 19 in the previously infected group. That's called a reinfection. Okay, are you with me so far? After adjustment for comorbidity such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and obesity, which, if you're hearing this, it ain't rocket science. When you have diabetes, chronic high blood pressure, or obesity, that puts you in a whole different category as someone that's at risk of having health problems. So after they adjusted for the people that had diabetes and high blood pressure and obesity, there was a staggering 13.0-fold increased risk that was recorded for breakthrough infections as opposed to reinfection. Apart from age, none of the comorbidities significantly affected the risk for an infection during the follow-up period. You know what that means? If you had the vaccine, there was like 13 times the risk for getting a breakthrough infection. Are you with me on that? Hey, folks, I'm not making this up. I'm just reading the study. When compared to symptomatic cases, 191 occurred in the vaccine group versus 8 in those that had been previously infected but weren't vaccinated. Are you with me on that? There were 8 hospitalizations occurred in the vaccinated group and 1 in the previously infected natural immunity group. That was the group that was unvaccinated, so 8-1. Overall, there were 640 infections in the vaccinated group versus 108 in the previously infected group. That's a 6.9-fold difference, almost 6 times as much. As for the symptomatic cases, there were 484 in the vaccinated group and 68 in the natural immunity group. It comes to a 7.3-fold difference. Okay? So, we talk about natural immunity versus artificial immunity. The CDC says the Delta variant is nearly twice as contagious as the previous variants. And for all I know, I don't see any reason why not to believe that. The CDC concedes that RNA viruses are not 100% effective, but in the same sentence, they are highly effective at preventing severe disease and death. Okay, so they kind of play it both ways. I don't know, do y'all trust people that... Never mind. In another concession, the CDC says there will be thousands of fully vaccinated people who become infected and able to infect others. And especially with the surging spread of the Delta variant. I don't know if you've ever heard the term called shedding before. And I'm not 100% positive that I've read a great study that demonstrates that, but I think this is kind of aiming toward that. But shedding means if someone has a vaccine or has been vaccinated, most likely they're going to show that they have a much higher viral load even though they don't have an infection. So they may be asymptomatic, but every time they breathe, guess what comes out of their breath? That's right. They're excreting, ejecting, kicking out, breathing out, however you want to say it, viral load. They're breathing out the COVID-19. Does that make sense? Or the coronavirus. Okay? And so, thus, you could be around a person that's been vaccinated, and you know what? They're not doing it to be harmful. They don't know. But they're breathing out a boatload of viruses to everybody else that's in the room. That's just the way it is. That's probably the concept called shedding. I think when I was trying to look this topic up, back in the 70s, there was an outbreak of measles. And they always do their very best to try to see if they can't nail down who patient zero is. Where did this come from? How did all these people get measles? And they couldn't find one person that had had contact with another person that had measles. I mean, to start the ball rolling. But they had discovered that they were in contact with people that have been newly vaccinated against measles, and thus the concept called shedding. So that's a possibility. I realize this may irritate a person or two, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to share information. And you have to be like those in Berea. You have to decide what the truth is by reading and studying. Okay, so this is the second report from Israel that natural immunity, you know what natural immunity is? That means you come in contact with the virus and your immune system responds in a robust manner. And it says, oh my goodness, we don't want to have to fight this again or battle it on this level, so why don't we start producing antibodies and let's keep them in our circulation. That way if we come in contact with this virus again, we're going to know how to defeat it. We'll be able to respond quickly and keep this lovely human being from getting sick. Does that make sense? So on April the 20th of 2020, involving another health plan, the vaccinated group was deemed to be 92.8% effective against the COVID-19 virus. Versus, and this is before the Delta variant, by the way, if it's April of 2020, versus 94.8% for the unvaccinated. So I don't know if you get those numbers right there. So in the second report, if you were vaccinated, you have 92.8% effective against getting the COVID-19. This is before the Delta variant. But if you had had no vaccination and had natural immunity, 94.8%. Which that report questioned even the need to vaccinate a previously infected individual. Let me ask you this. Why would you get vaccinated if your odds of survival are better with natural immunity? Well, there's probably reasons why. I did read that one report from Oxford that demonstrated that there may be some benefit below the age of 50, but after the age of 50... there ain't no benefit at all. It's just ridiculous. Okay, among healthcare workers who experience more than average exposure to COVID-19, and that's true. God bless healthcare workers. If you're a nurse, if you're a pharmacist, if you're in the hospital, a doctor, then you get all the exposure you really need. You really need your immune system to do its job to protect you. So God bless all our nurses and hospital workers. They've got their hands full, folks. Let's pray for them. So among healthcare workers who experienced more than one average exposure to COVID-19, there is zero risk for reinfection after natural immunity is developed. Not one of the 1,359 previously infected subjects who remain unvaccinated, they had a COVID-19 reinfection over the duration of the study. Now that is almost unbelievable. You know, when you look at studies, you think to yourself, when you see the word 100% and zero, you think, there's no way it can be that one-sided. Kind of like I read a report from the, who sent this to me? I can't remember now, but they were showing basically that in this report, they said over 9,000 individuals that had died from COVID in Texas, they were like zero of them that were, these were all unvaccinated people that died. And I thought to myself, that is baloney. You can't get stats that one-sided. And so when I did the statistical analysis, they were basically saying that 99.65% of all the deaths were unvaccinated. Well, that's not what these studies show, folks. I just wonder how many people are like adding or fudging the numbers to promote their political narrative or agenda. I don't know. But in this study, not one of the previously 1,359 individuals that were infected with COVID but got over it, who remained unvaccinated, they never got a reinfection. And that's one of the things we're seeing now is all this Delta variant. And we hadn't even got to the part about how this Lambda variant is starting to come out, which, you know, I'm still reading about that. I don't know everything. Anyway, there's the results right there. So if you remain unvaccinated and you don't get the vaccine, then you have 13 times protection against getting a reinfection. Okay. If anybody wants to join me on the air this morning, there's a phone line that's officially open. I have tried to record the program. It ain't working today, so there must be a glitch. That just goes to show you how powerful lightning is. When lightning strikes the radio station, there's no telling what happens. The radio station is filled with security cameras, and when lightning struck, it took them all out. I'm just joking. It doesn't. So the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call. I can hear all this background static from different programs, so I don't even know if the station is working. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I just had a quick comment. One, we have a 96-year-old uncle with no health problems.
Wow.
Taking no medication, but he got the vaccine and within 4 months had a mild stroke. This has been about 2 months ago, and he's just having a tough time recovering. That's my only example of someone that got the vaccine and, yeah, in great health and had a problem. But last night at the White House football game, my daughter tells me, my youngest granddaughter was, you know, just getting cruddy, had a fever, and of course she doesn't want to test her, and the school is not making the parents test everybody that just gets a call for a sore throat. But she made a concoction of the grapefruit rinds or peels,
yeah,
and orange peels. And I read about it last night, and I just want to throw that out there that maybe people might want to look that up. It sounds interesting.
Oh, my goodness, I love it. No, that's so nice of you to mention that, because the bottom line is you've got to be your own advocate when it comes to your health. And so I love the idea of, and you know, there may be a million people that are listening right now. There's not, I promise you, but I just made that up. But if there were people listening, they might say, that lady is nuts. Dr. Morgan is totally crazy. Well, you can say whatever you want, but I personally love it when people are super, super curious and they read articles and they study and they say, what can I do to help myself? You know what the Indians used to do when there was like a viral epidemic? They would take pine needles and boil them and drink the tea.
Oh,
so
okay. I like the hibiscus tea. The pine needles might be a bit much.
Ma'am, you're going to have to change your attitude. I need you to get out there and pick up some pine needles and start boiling and drinking them.
Oh, Lord.
No, okay. And that's good. And the thing of it is, God has created in the orange rind, in the lemon rind, and in the pith, all these nutrients that seem to be highly beneficial. They contain bioflavonoids like quercetin. You ever heard of quercetin?
No, sir.
Well, quercetin is one of the remedies that seems to be effective at helping your body transport. It's called a zinc ionophore, but it's found in nature. So when you eat onions, you're getting quercetin. And when you get citrus, you're getting quercetin. So there may be something to what you're saying, but I like it.
Well, it knocked my granddaughter's fever within an hour and
what?
Everything. No stuffiness. And
well, wouldn't so you say anyway, that's a pretty rapid response?
I think that's pretty awesome.
Oh, good job.
Okay. Have
and
a
I
great
should,
day.
Now, who did you say was 96? Did you say your uncle?
Yes, yes.
Where does he
and
live?
He's having it in Tyler. He moved here from, he spent most of his life in the Antarctica and in Canada. And,
wait a second. Wait a second. Back up. Tell me again, where did he spend the majority of his life?
In the Antarctic and Canada. So he was
what was he doing there? What was he doing in the Antarctic?
He was actually discovering oil.
Was he really? Wow.
He really was. He's an awesome man with a beautiful, healthy attitude. Always had, and still has a great sense of humor.
Are you kidding? I love him already. What's his first name?
Yeah, Frank.
Frank.
He would be worth everyone's prayers. He's a
well,
a
yeah. Let's do that. Let's just pray for Frank that God will look upon him with great favor.
Super.
Thank you
so much
for your phone call. You're
day.
So welcome.
Okay. Bye. Uh-huh.
Bye. Bye. Okay, there's a phone line once again open 903-586-5257. And of course, this brings us to the oh, there we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
I'm still trying to figure this phone system out, so thanks for your patience.
Oh, you got it.
All right. How are you today?
I'm fine. My name is Jane. I'm 72 with no physical problems, no nothing, not even a regular doctor. But I drive for the schools. I drive school bus. And I've learned for many, many years, if I will rinse my nose with saline every morning, then I don't get sick.
You are one smart cookie.
Then I heard TikTok, if I put one drop of oregano oil.
Does your make your nose on fire?
I cried.
How many times? Over and over?
I did it. Oh, first two times I got more than one drop, and I really cried. After that, I figured out how to make it one drop, but it still works. And
yeah.
And Saturday, 2 weeks from today, I was at one of my friends. She's a bus driver too, and because it's gonna clean her house.
Oh,
and
wow,
got
how
on
sweet.
Monday, I found out that she and her husband and her daughter all had COVID.
And you were in their house trying to help them out, right?
Right, before
gotcha.
I knew it. And protocol is every other day for 10 days you get tested.
Oh, is that
and
what
I'm
the
negative.
School system requires as a bus driver?
Right.
Okay. What
if
happened?
You're, if you're exposed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think it's because of the rinsing in the first place and keeping my sinuses healthy, and second, putting that oregano oil in it.
So they tested you every other day for how long?
10 days.
How do they test you? They take that long Q-tip and stick it up your nose?
It's a long Q-tip, but I do it myself, and I just go around it five times in each nostril.
Wow.
And I hand it back to them, and then they put it in there. Within 15 minutes, they know it's negative.
Wow. So how many times total do they test you over like a 10-day period?
Three times.
Okay.
I was in her house on a Saturday. I didn't know it till Monday. It was so late Monday, I couldn't get tested Monday, so it started Tuesday, Thursday. Then we had the weekend, and then I couldn't until Monday, and then Monday I was still negative.
I'm telling you right now, what you have done is like so, so smart.
Well, I just don't want to get sick, and I'm not taking the shot.
You know, was that a little bit of negativity in your voice? Just joking.
No, a fact.
That's, well, you know what the thing of it is? Every single human being that walks the planet, we were given the gift of a free will, right?
Right.
And so if somebody chooses to get vaccinated, that's fine by me. If somebody doesn't, that's fine by me too, because all I can do is take care of myself. And you're the same way, right?
Right.
There,
I do something else. You ever heard of Juice Plus?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nutrients that your immune system needs to do its job properly?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
And I sell it.
Well,
and
good
I have
deal.
It right here in Jacksonville.
I think you should come to the radio station because I think Randy Featherston loves that product.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I was with Juice Plus when it first opened 50 years ago. But I was young and dumb, and I didn't have the money, and I was just taking it for whatever. But that could have set the precedent for the rest of my life, which means I'm 72 and nothing.
That's right. You can't make that up, that you're 72 years of age and you're not on 12. I think the average number of prescriptions that a 72-year-old is either 10 or 12. It's one or the other. That's the average person walking around the street that's 72. They're taking 10 prescription drugs, and you're not taking any.
I'm not taking any, but let me tell you this. I found you on the radio at least 10 years ago. I was in Tyler, and I was sick, and I didn't have a doctor. I didn't have insurance. I had to do it naturally. I've listened to you every week, and done everything that I could do, and I got over it. I still don't have a doctor. I still don't have any prescriptions, but I got myself well.
Now, see, that's amazing. What does a person do when their back is against the wall and they say, I got to take care of myself? I've got to get over this.
You learn how to do it.
That's right.
I'm not running to the doctor every little thing.
Well, the thing of it is, what does a person gain if they go to the emergency room every time they have a sniffle? They gain nothing.
No,
as a matter of fact,
a lot of money.
You know what? I keep asking myself, I say to myself, hey, Roy, when are we going to go broke as a nation? How can we keep doing this?
We can't.
The report that I read from Fortune magazine this week, it said they're spending more money on Social Security and Medicare expenses than what's coming into the Treasury because people have not been working because of this COVID-19 deal.
So it's they don't want them to work.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that. I know this. God wants us to work. Isn't there a passage in the Bible that says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, as serving God and not man?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me that work is a gift from God?
Yes, because if I didn't have work, I would be bonkers.
That's right. And you know what? Guess what your immune system needs? It needs work. Don't make it too easy for your immune system. Give it a challenge. And I'd say right now, in the world, we got a pretty big challenge. And even now, I don't, just because I say this doesn't make it so, but this new strain that's been detected, or the variant of the coronavirus called the Lambda variant, for all I know, it may be what the fear mongers say, but maybe it won't be. But still, you've got to make a choice. What are you going to do to take care of yourself so your immune system can respond properly? And in your case, you're putting salt with a drop of oregano. You're trying to clean. You know what? 95% of all infections, guess where they incubate? In the back of the pharynx. And that's right. You ain't kidding. So if that's where they incubate, what would happen if you took and decreased the load of toxic bacteria and fungus and viruses and prions by washing them out every day? I think it's brilliant.
I've done it for so long because I've always had sinus issues. My sinuses have drained, and that just keeps it. That's the only way I can keep it to a minimum. So, but it's not a drug. It doesn't make me feel funky all day. So that's why I do it. But
it just sets your nose on fire for a good 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I cried. First two times I had two drops in there, and I cried. But I always look at that as a positive. Because if it cries, if it burns this bad, it's got to be getting something out of there.
You know what? You're 100% right. Anything that makes your eyes water and your nose run, you're getting rid of all the viruses. And you know what? That's been proven over and over again. They took a large group of people, over 2,000 of them, in Great Britain, and they said, all we want you to do is go to an Indian food restaurant that serves super spicy food. What I would have said is Thai food. But when they went, when they started feeling like they had a viral infection like the flu, if they ate a super spicy meal that was so hot that made their eyes and nose water and run like you're talking about happened to you, it was more effective than any other treatment. It was like 87% effective at overcoming the flu just because their eyes watered and their nose ran. And that's how your immune system washes it out. Yeah.
You walk through someone with the virus, and how's that get up in there? It's got to be through your nose. And if you keep the sinus cavities clear and all that stuff flushed out, what's it going to do? It's going to come out with that. And I just think that I saved myself from a lot of pain and sorrow by doing that. And I started doing that just before I went over there that day.
How do you keep meat from being infected? You pack it in salt.
Salt.
They did a study on mice where they injected them with, it's called MRSA. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. It's a staph infection from hell. It doesn't go away with antibiotics. And they gave these mice a salt block. The ones that licked the salt, they got over all the boils. Have you ever had a boil before? I can't imagine that being fun.
I had one long, long time ago when I was in high school.
You know what? I remember when I was 5 years old, I watched a doctor lance a boil on my dad's bottom when we were in the back of the grocery store. I know that sounds weird to people, but you know what? It's just a different time.
Infection. Yeah.
He bit down into a strap of leather, and I heard him cry out, and I'm going, that hurt. But you know what? You got to lance it to get all that poison to explode out of your body, right?
Yeah.
So there,
I had one on my butt, but my mother, never mind. We won't talk about that.
Okay, good. Well, I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. And
I think
what you've done is really encouraged a lot of people, so I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye. Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. And so, you know, that article that I read earlier about if you took about a half a teaspoon of salt and you added it to water and you would drink it prior to like a sporting event or competition, it was incredible. You could exercise for 21 minutes longer than everybody else that didn't do that. Good morning, and how are you?
I am blessed, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Wonderful. Listen, I'm calling in regards to the lady that called in about the grapefruit and orange peel.
Yeah,
But she didn't say anything about how to take that. I mean, are you to just eat that, or...
I think she's talking about boiling and getting the liquid off of it. She's trying to extract the medicinal value. And I know one thing. You can go on YouTube right now. Have you ever heard of YouTube?
Yes, sir.
And you can type in, what do I do with orange and grapefruit and lemon peels to make my own medicine? You'll probably have about 2,500 videos to show you how to make it for yourself and what to do with it.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm glad you got through. Bye-bye.
Me too. Bye-bye.
All right, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. If you want to join me on the radio, give me a call. I came across this article. Okay, somebody's calling. I'll come back to it. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Where are you driving to today? Where?
But I'm listening to your radio station, and I had a quick question for you. I've done a little bit of blood work this week. Kind of specifically, my mom and my sister have been diagnosed with Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you could give me more information about that. My mom told me last night that her thyroid numbers were within range and good for years. And she said, there's something just not right. And they finally checked the Hashimoto's antibodies.
Exactly.
I don't know what all that means. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Did you want to hang on, or did you want me to just try to go into that after you're off the air?
Oh, just whenever.
Okay, well, let's just take a run and a stab at it. Hashimoto's was named by a Japanese physician, obviously. I mean, Hashimoto. That sounds Japanese, doesn't it? Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, if they did a lab test that measures whether or not that their body is producing antibodies against thyroid, that's a pretty big deal. Because what that means is, that means the conditions are right in your mother and your sister's bodies for their immune system to start attacking the thyroid. And so... I know I'm an oversimplifier, but let me take a stab at this. If something causes chronic irritation and inflammation of the thyroid, And the thyroid begins to break down, then it's going to start leaking its proteins into the bloodstream, and your immune system is going to say, why do we have all this thyroid material floating around in the bloodstream? So your immune system kind of has no choice. It has to start generating antibodies as a way of kind of cleaning up all the broken down thyroid that's ending up in the bloodstream. But let me kind of change the narrative a little bit more. Now, I think I'm being very accurate by saying this. I would say a minimum, just from one particular study, 87% of all individuals that had Hashimoto's, which I can tell you it's by far and away women.
Yeah.
I think I've seen one man in 32 years that had Hashimoto's, but the remainder would be all women, which means that's 99% plus. But anyway, in the study, it demonstrated that if people consume modern genetically modified wheat, which is what all the bread is in the stores and stuff like that, then their body can start producing antibodies against the gluten or the gliadin, which closely resembles a thyroid protein molecule. And so what that means is every time your mom and sister eat like a chocolate chip cookie, not the chocolate so much, not the walnuts, not the pecans, but it's the wheat. Yeah, it's the flour. And so every time they eat wheat, that just sends a signal, hey, attack the thyroid. Get rid of it, clean it up. But that is not good. And so have you ever heard of a paleo diet? If your mother and sister said, you know what, we don't believe Dr. Morgan, but we believe our daughter, so we're going to follow her. Yeah, I mean, the thing of it is, you can look it up so easy now, it's just ridiculous. You can type in, does consuming wheat have any correlation to Hashimoto's? Are you kidding me? I could prove it in about one nanosecond. Yeah. If this was 19...
She told me that last night. She said, you'll talk to doctors, and they'll tell you... celiacs and any kind of gluten intolerance has nothing to do with Hashimoto's. She's like, they don't know what they're talking about. So
and
I'm
you know what?
That you believe that.
You and I have a different perspective. We want to be our own advocates, and we want to be like the Bereans. We're going to study the truth to see if what they're saying measures up or not. You know, the thing of it is, it's not because I want to like poo-poo what somebody else is saying. I just want to say, hey, prove it to me. Prove to me that what you're saying is true. And I'm pretty open-minded about stuff. And so if they consume wheat, there ain't going to be any way to get better. Now, there's about three or four things that I use routinely day in, day out, and I don't mind telling you what I do when somebody comes in with Hashimoto's. Number one, I got to convince them not to eat wheat on any level. And by the way, I don't really think that wheat is bad, but I think between genetically modifying it, changing its chemical structure and protein configurations, and, you know, spraying the heck out of it with a chemical called Roundup, you're just asking for problems. You're trying to poison people. And so if you give up modern wheat and give your body just a rest and break, we want to see if your immune system begins to calm down and stops attacking the thyroid. But here's the products that I use. There is a correlation between what's called vitamin D3 and Hashimoto's.
Vitamin D or
B? I said D as in David. Okay. Sorry, I didn't pronounce that very well. But so there is a case. Well, I said D3. Three rhymes with C. So vitamin D3, as in the number three. Mm-hmm. There's always a correlation in a dose-dependent manner. So if they're low in vitamin D3, well, let's start to correct that. There's two or three ways to do it. Stop eating wheat, get out in the sun, and take it. It's about as simple as that. And probably for Hashimoto's, it's going to take somewhere between 10 and 20,000 international units of D3 a day or cholecalciferol for a couple of months to kind of get them back up to speed.
So okay? You do that every... You would recommend 10,000 units a day if you're maybe in the 20s in your Z's?
I might even take 20,000 if I was in the 20s. Because the number 20 on a vitamin D3 test, that's abysmal.
It's very low.
And vitamin D is one of those very interesting nutrients that if you don't have your gas tank full of vitamin D, so if you're in the 20s, that means there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that's just not even done in the body that requires vitamin D because there's not enough to go around.
Right. exactly.
So I know it's a simplification, but what's going to happen to you if you don't drink any water for the next 3 days? Your body's going to revolt. You're going to have cramps and spasms, exhausted. In your case, you're probably going to hallucinate, and you're going to see angels flying through the sky with under a rainbow. No, right. I'm joking. But so vitamin D3 is hugely important. The other mineral that I think is super important is magnesium. And so just supplementation with those is good. I use a product by a company called Standard Process called Phytrophin PMG. And what they do is they take nuclear proteins or protomorphogen glandulars from a cow's thyroid. But when human beings consume that orally in the form of a small white compressed food tablet, it tells your body, would you please stop attacking the thyroid? And so that works very well. And then I use another product that's called Ramania Complex.
Okay.
It contains...
Is that by
a company called MediHerb. About the same thing. But it's one of the best ones to help the body stop attacking the thyroid. And so what we got to do is we got to clean your mom and sister up. So I hope you're not listening. Don't tell them I said they have dirty, dirty blood and they're dirty girls. But but if you don't
they're
eat...
They're in Colorado. They're not listening.
Oh, good. Then I can
not
say...
Even awake.
Then I can say whatever I want. This is great.
Me too. Oh.
The one... Now, there is a very specific virus that's known as the Epstein-Barr virus.
Okay.
I think there's a pretty high correlation to women that harbor this Epstein-Barr viral load and thyroid problems. And so, let's say, for example, if you met me at my office in, say, 10 minutes, actually it's like 8 minutes now, and I examined you and I said, ma'am, you've got a thyroid problem. And I think it's autoimmune, but you've also got another issue. I think you're allergic to wheat, and I think you have the Epstein-Barr virus, according to the way that I test people. And so if I did, you'd say, oh, no one's told me that before. But that's also the solution, so we know what we got to do. We got to get your body over the Epstein-Barr, because that's not doing you any favors. That's probably a pretty close cousin to the virus that's known to cause mononucleosis. And have you ever talked to a woman that's had mono...
Yeah.
And laid in bed for 3 weeks, you know that it ain't doing you any favors.
Right. Very interesting.
So those are the ways that I would go about it for starters. Okay. And if you can just convince her just not to eat donuts or Little Debbie snack cakes, we'll be good.
Yes. Well, I'm doing D3s. My numbers were in the 20s a year ago, and they're up higher, but they're still not where I want them. I think they were in the low 40s early, maybe somewhere in there, but I really wanted more. So,
well, 40s are a lot better than 20s, but I think if you start hitting 70s to 90s, that'll be really good for you.
Yes, and my husband and my son, I had them tested for the our chiropractors in Henderson, and we did the D3 and the inflammation test, and their inflammation was low, but their D's were in the 20s. And I'm like, nope, this isn't happening. So we're getting on 10,000, but I may call her and say, can you bump that to 20?
Do you know what I would do if I were you? I would change the locks on the front and the back door, and that way when you tell your son and husband, oh my goodness, they're serving cheeseburgers on the street in front of the house, when they run out there, lock the door and make them stay outside all day long. You're doing them a favor.
They actually are outside a lot. Well, my husband works, he's a sales rep for Nabisco, which is very difficult talking about gluten, but another story. Anyway,
Nabisco, don't they make candy bars too? Oreos? Did you just say?
it's Oreos and Nutter Butters and all the good stuff.
Wait a second. You mean your husband has a supply of Nutter Butters? I'll be there shortly.
You'll be there shortly. I can pay you in that.
That's right.
Well, they mow. They have a mow business on the side, so they're out in the sun. We're not indoor people, so I think more has to do with just our eating habits.
I think the number one thing that I would say to respond to that is I'm so glad that you're so open about this, all this stuff. But modern wheat, it totally blocks what's called B12 and vitamin D. And in some people. So if you eat, and that's what I'm trying to get to, is when some people eat wheat, it truly is a poison to them. It's like what you would do if you were going to try to make Superman weak. You would put kryptonite near him. So for some people, consuming wheat is kryptonite to their body. You know what? I just have to come to terms with my Nutter Butter addiction. I think the last batch I had was like in 1971, and I still miss them.
Do you?
I'm gonna need your husband's truck number where I can. Do you think I flagged him down on the highway, he'd pull over and say, hey, "Who are you? You want Nutter Butters?"
So yeah, okay. They're really good in the wintertime when they dip them in chocolate. That's really where I struggle.
Oh my goodness!
You can do it, man. Just stay with it, you guys.
I think that's the 11th commandment: "Thou shalt not eat Nutter Butters dipped in chocolate."
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for your.
Oh yeah.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Bye bye. Okay, I think I have maybe 3 minutes left, give or take. Well, let's talk about this just for a second. And I know that you've probably heard all this before, but I think in Wuhan, China, one of the things they were very famous for, besides this virus, is they seem to statistically have an extremely high consumption of alcoholic beverages there. Now, I know there's a difference between occasional alcohol use and somebody that's a problem drinker and then maybe full-blown alcoholic, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but you have to understand that the highest occurrence of the COVID-19 is where there's alcohol consumption. And so like a woman told me like last week, she was saying, my daughter works the emergency room as a nurse here in Jacksonville. And I said, okay, what is she telling you? She said, they are being overrun by very obese, overweight white men between 40 and maybe 50 years of age. And I kind of thought to myself, I bet you they're all drinkers. Okay. So I'm not trying to criticize somebody for drinking. But if you drink beer, if you drink alcohol, what you're doing is you're depleting your body of the nutrients that your immune system requires to keep you in good working order, like zinc and magnesium. You ever heard of the B vitamins? Well, your immune system has got to have those to keep you safe and protected. So if you drink alcohol, I'm telling you right now, you're going to find out that you're not going to do well if you come in contact with the Delta or the Lambda variant. And the other thing is, and I know this is just very direct and straightforward, sugar is one of those things that's so hard on the immune system. Now, I didn't say you can't have any. That's your choice. That's your call. But if you eat a lot of sugar every day, it's so hard for your immune system to rise to the occasion and actually do its job efficiently. So if you eat a lot of sugar, it's just going to make your immune system so sluggish and so weak and so anemic and pathetic, it's not worth it. Please, if you eat sugar, it is the number one predictor, medically speaking, hands down, on who gets an infection and they can't get over it. Now, they won't let me break into hospitals and give intravenous vitamin C to everyone that's in the intensive care. But if I was in charge of the hospital, that's what I would do. And I would also give lots of N-acetylcysteine, because N-acetylcysteine is what your body uses to manufacture and make a very, very powerful natural substance called glutathione. If you haven't heard these things, I'm sure you have before, but please, let's find a way to get everybody through this where we can become stronger and develop natural immunity. You're listening to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I'll be back this same time next week.